Our Bibles are open to Revelation chapter 2. We hope to look at verses 8 through 11. It's the letter of Christ Jesus to the church at Smyrna. Now, I realize I'm talking to a mixed bag of people, a mixed group of denominations, a mixed bag of doctrinal beliefs, different positions. I understand that. And all I want to do today is help you better understand that we are facing a world that is in change, a world that is changing, a world that is going to continue changing. I grew up in churches as a youngster, teaching me that Christ could come at any moment. I had no reason to doubt that. I just believed what I heard from the pulpit. But as I grew older, and as I got into the Word, as I gave myself to studying the Word after I finally left the military and the business world and finally submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Christ Jesus with respect to the ministry, I had to start questioning some things I've been taught. I did question some things I've been taught. I'm a firm believer in comparing Scripture with Scripture, systematic theology. And so I brought that practice from my background into the ministry. I brought it into the study of the Word of God. And I know I'm talking to people today. Some of you have embraced the pre-trib rapture theory. Others of you have embraced the mid-trib rapture theory. And my position is the post-trib rapture. I don't know where you are in the mix. I don't know if your position is one that you arrived at as a result of in-depth, systematic study of the Bible, or is your position a borrowed position? I don't know. Is your position a borrowed position, or is it a result of a systematic study of eschatology? Is it the result of a systematic study of end times, as the Word of God declares it, as the Word lays it out? You see, you have to understand this. Doctrine is not determined by a denominational position. Did you hear me? Doctrine is not determined or defined by a denominational position. Doctrine is defined by comparing Scripture with Scripture, line upon line, comparing Scripture with Scripture. We call it systematic theology. When you move through the Bible practicing systematic theology, you've got to compare Scripture with Scripture with Scripture to find out where they meet and how they support one another. Now, in this study, we're going to continue in the book of the Revelation. We are going today to go into the second letter of the seven letters to the churches, to the church at Smyrna. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life." Christ Jesus is speaking, continues to speak to the pastors, to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. And these seven churches are symbolic, if I may say so, to churches that can be found all over the world. Churches that can be found in different denominations, different communities, different countries around the world. These seven churches, churches like these seven churches, can be found in any number of places with much the same problems and much the same commendation. And both churches have some of each. Now, in this message, he now speaks to the pastor of the church at Smyrna. "These things, says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life, crucified and determined by the execution squad to be dead." They crucified Christ, we all know that. And he had to be certified as being dead before they would release his body to Joseph of Arimathea and to Nicodemus. So he was crucified. He was determined by the execution squad to be dead. He was entombed in a tomb furnished by Joseph of Arimathea. Now, on the third day, you recall, he was resurrected. He resurrected himself from death. He resurrected himself from death to life. And he revealed by his resurrection that he was God in the flesh, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only did he resurrect himself, but he revealed his resurrection not only to those who knew him best, but to others as well. In this message, he speaks to the pastor of the church at Smyrna. We want to continue with that. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you're rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Oh, my word. He is speaking to the religious community. And what he says to the religious community of that day applies to much of the religious community of this day. Watch it once again. I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty, but you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. He is saying to this church at Smyrna, I'm aware of your efforts to advance the kingdom of God. I'm assuming that you're in a ministry that is striving to advance the kingdom of God, not only here locally, but internationally. You need to be in such a mixture where you're trying to advance the kingdom of God. Then each of us as an individual, need to do our part through our testimony, our lifestyle, our witness, our prayer life. We need to try to advance the kingdom of God in every area of the world. Now, I understand the opposition that you face as well as the persecution you face when you start trying to advance the kingdom of God. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come lightly. And I understand that. I understand the opposition you face, the persecution that you're going to face. And so Jesus is saying to these people, I am aware of your efforts to advance the kingdom of God. He goes on. He says, I understand the opposition you face, as well as the persecution you face. I understand you're trying to advance the kingdom of God. You're simply living in obedience to me. You're ministering in obedience to me. He says, I recognize all that. And I also recognize your lack of material wealth. You're not a wealthy people. As a matter of fact, you could be considered a people of poverty. But I recognize your lack of material wealth. But understand this, he says to them, you possess that which is essential to eternity. You possess that which is essential to eternity. That is, you've been born again. You have been born again. You have believed and received me, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. You not only believed, you received, and I am your Lord. I am your Savior. You received me as what I am, what I was, the promised Messiah. I was promised to the earth. I was promised to mankind, and I came. Jesus goes on then as he speaks to the pastor at the church in Smyrna. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Listen to what I just read to you from the scripture. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Simply stated, blasphemy can consist of words, actions, attitudes contrary to God, contrary to who he is, all he is, contrary to what he's done, all he's doing, contrary to his word. Blasphemy. And I wonder how many people on a daily basis practice blasphemy and don't even realize they are practicing blasphemy. You see, blasphemy is that which is in opposition to God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. Anything that is opposed to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit can be considered blasphemy. So he goes on now. Let me read it to you again now. And I know the baptism of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Who say they are Jews but are not? You see, they were Jews simply by birth to the Jewish nation. That was their basis for calling themselves Jews. They were simply Jews by birth to the Jewish nation. But because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had identified themselves as those of the synagogue of Satan. Did you get me? Did you hear that? They had identified themselves through their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the Messiah, as the promised Messiah. They had proved themselves to be of the synagogue of Satan. What an ugly, ugly term. What a horrible, horrible place to be. What a place to be identified with, the synagogue of Satan. And I wonder how many today are religious, but members of the synagogue of Satan. I wonder how many people I'm speaking to today who are religious, but you are members of the synagogue of Satan. Religious? Yes. Going through all sorts of religious practices, involved in religious rules and roles and regulations and rites, but never born again. Involved in all kinds of religious activity, but never truly born again. And unless you are born again, you're in the synagogue of Satan. Did you hear me? Unless you have been born again, I don't care where your membership is located on planet Earth. I don't care in what institution, what religious group. I don't care where your membership is situated. If you've never been born again, you are still a member of the synagogue of Satan. And if you die while a member of the synagogue of Satan, you'll go to Satan's home place, which is hell. It's serious, folks. It is serious. And there's so much deception in the religious community as well as in the Christian community in many respects. Deception. We know who the great deceiver is, but we must know. Each of us must be able to look the Word of God straight in the face, look the Lord Jesus Christ in the face and say, yes, I know you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I've been born again. I have believed, I have received, I've been dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am a child of God, adopted into the family of God. That is what happens when you're born again. All of that becomes part of who you are and what you are when you're born again. But until you're born again, none of that applies to you. We come to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, slow down. Listen to what he is saying to the church. He is saying this to the church at Smyrna. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. That means God's going to allow him to do so. Did you hear me? God is going to allow the enemy of our soul to throw some of these into prison. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. You have to be tried. Have you really seriously been tested? Has your Christianity, has your identification with Christ Jesus, has your professed belief in Christ Jesus really, truly been tested? I mean, has it? Have you really, truly been tested? Because the word says to these, Jesus says to these at Smyrna, you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You will have tribulation. Guess what? If you're a child of God, you're going to face some tribulation. Now, we're not talking about the great tribulation at this moment. That is still future. We realize that a worldwide great tribulation is coming against the church. And yes, the church will be here, or the great tribulation could not come against the church. Does that make sense to you? The church has to be here in order for the great tribulation to come against the church. Well, who is the church comprised of? The church is comprised of those who have been born again, purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God. They're believer priests. But sometimes believer priests have to be tried. Now, we're all being tried on a daily basis to one degree or another. We're being tempted. We're being tested. We're being tried. But this was a period of tribulation that was coming against the church and against the people of God. And Jesus says, you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful. He's speaking to the church at Smyrna now. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful even though it cost you your life. And I will give you the crown of life. He says to them, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Now remember, he is speaking to believers. He's speaking to those born again. He puts them on notice that they are going to be persecuted. Yes, born again, child of God, adopted into the family of God, but they are going to be persecuted. And as a result of that persecution, they are going to suffer. Why are they going to be persecuted? Why are they going to suffer? Why? Because of their faith. Folks, that's nothing new. That is nothing new. The pages of history are soaked with the blood of those who were persecuted for their faith. They were made martyrs. They died rather than surrender their faith. They died rather than reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They died rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, while that has happened in the past, hear me carefully, that is yet again future for the church in all nations of the world. The church of the future is going to face opposition, persecution. Christians are going to face opposition, persecution. That is part of what the mark of the beast is all about. And I'm watching the changing of the times in this day in which we live. I'm watching a shifting, if you will, in the international scene. I'm watching a shifting among the nations. And I know from the Word of God where it's all going to end up. I don't think it'll happen in my lifetime. It may well not happen in the lifetime of many of you listening to this broadcast, but it's going to happen. So that means, will it happen in the lives of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Should you not be in prayer? Should you not be in prayer? Should you not be salt and light? Should you not be standing against everything on the satanic agenda? Have you carefully examined the satanic agenda lately? Where, for example, do you think the transgender movement was birthed? Where do you think the acceptance of sodomite lifestyles came from? Where do you think all that came from? Where do you think all the rejection of Christianity comes from? Where do you think the rejection of the church comes from? Do you not understand the Word of God? Do you not understand the Word of prophecy? Do you not understand that we, those of us who know Christ, are the enemies of Satan? And as such, we are hated in hell. We're hated by every demon out of hell. We're hated by Satan, and it will continue to do so. You see, there is yet to come a worldwide persecution of Christians. At the moment, yes, there is a persecution of Christians. China, some Muslim nations, other nations, there are those nations in which to be a Christian means you're going to be persecuted, which means you're going to be set upon. You have to understand, folks, this is reality. This is occurring right today in your lifetime, in my lifetime. This is occurring in different nations around the world, and you're watching odds and ends and bits and pieces of it being and accumulating against the church of today in the United States of America. If you have ears to hear, if you have eyes to see, if you've got sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God, if you know anything about the Word of God, you can see that this slow but sure process of implementation of the government of Antichrist is slowly but surely but inexorably being executed at different levels, at different times, in different places, in different nations around the world. And for the most part, the church is asleep. I'm convinced that a great number of pulpits are asleep, but then we've got pulpits that don't want to offend those in attendance. Therefore, we are careful, are we not? Is that not the plan of some pulpits? Not to offend too much? We don't want to say things too harshly. We don't want to preach too strongly. We don't want to stand too strongly. If we do that, we're apt to offend. And if we offend, then we're apt to lose some income. And if we lose some income, that means we lost some members, and we must keep the membership where it is. Folks, reality. Reality. You see, so much of the end times has been misunderstood through denial. Through denial. Now, you've got Christians in other nations saying, can it get any worse than it already is? Can it get any worse than it already is? We're already under persecution. We're being prosecuted. We're being imprisoned. We're being denied. We're being denied services. Can it get any worse than it is right now? Well, yes, it can. Once the spirit of Antichrist, that individual that will come on the scene internationally as the Antichrist, that individual who is Satan personified. Satan personified. And understand this, Satan hates Jesus. Satan hates Christ Jesus. Satan hates believers. Satan hates Christians. He hates the church. He hates the bride of Christ. He hates the body of Christ. And is doing everything in his power in some way to wreak destruction on the church. So many have misunderstood the end times. They do that sometimes through denial and sometimes, frankly, through wishful thinking. They just don't want to face that reality, a scriptural reality. They don't want to face that reality. And sometimes it's all a result of a misinterpretation of Scripture. Folks, I realize there's all kinds of doctrinal errors out there. I understand that different denominations take different routes. But you, your soul is in the balance. You as an individual, the denomination is not going to be standing before the judgment bar of God. You are. I am. Every individual is going to stand before the judgment bar of God, and you're either going to stand there as one who believed and received Christ Jesus as your Savior. You were born again, and because you were born again, you were made a new creation. You became a new creation. You were changed, and you started hating the things you used to do. You started hating the things you were. You hated those things, and you embraced a new set of standards, godly standards, the Word of God, Christ Jesus. And you see, you have to understand this. The moment you are born again, you are adopted into the family of God. And as one adopted into the family of God, you are indwelt. Hear me. You're indwelt by the creative power of this universe. I've said this so many times. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God indwells you if you've been born again. So what are you running from? What are you afraid of? What intimidates you? Why do you back off? Why do you back down? Why aren't you bold as a lion? Why aren't you strong in the Lord and the power of his might? You're supposed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You're supposed to be salt and light in every situation. Now he goes on. The Lord Jesus goes on talking to the church of Smyrna. He says, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Folks, this is Jesus, Christ Jesus, in the book of the Revelation, speaking to the pastor at the church in Smyrna. He says, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Well, guess what? He cannot throw them into prison unless the Lord allows it, can he? Hello? He cannot throw them into prison unless the Lord allows them to be thrown into prison. But why are they being thrown into prison? Why? Why does the Lord Jesus Christ allow some of his children to be thrown into prison? He tells you that you may be tested. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. Do you realize most of us believers, almost every day of the world, are tested one way or the other. One way or the other, we're tested in how we're going to react, how we're going to respond. You see, being tested is nothing new to Christianity. Being tested was nothing new to early Christians. That was nothing new to them, to be tested. And understand this, it is true today in so many nations. In certain nations of the world, the church is being tested day after day after day. Christians, believers, are being tested day after day after day, and many times laying their life on the line. Laying their life on the line in order to stand firm for Christ, to stand faithful to Christ, and be faithful to Christ. It's going on today in certain nations around the world, and it is creeping in to the United States of America as it is into every other nation of the world. Jesus goes on. Now let's go back and look at that again now. He says to them, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Do not fear any of those things which you are to suffer. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Tribulation has been a reality in the history of the church from its earliest days. Paul the Apostle was persecuting the church. Listen, the early church, persecution, tribulation has been a reality in the history of the church. And that is not a generic statement, but that is a specific statement. I'm not making some kind of generic off-the-wall statement there. When I say to you that tribulation, trouble, persecution has been a reality in the history of the church, that is not, I say once again, that is not a generic kind of statement. It is a specific statement, documented historically. We have a documented history of the church and the persecution, a documented history of the church and the persecution, a documented history of martyrs, of people being slain for the faith, suffering all kinds of unbelievable treatment. Why? Because of their faith in Christ Jesus. But look at what Christ suffered. Look at what Christ himself suffered. Scourged to a point that was almost unrecognizable, nailed to a cross, bleeding, nailed to a cross, and yet hanging on that cross. Took the time to say to that thief hanging on the cross, when the thief said to him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, in all of his pain and bloody body and lashed body, turning his head, looking at that thief, and saying, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Oh, my soul, what more? You see, the church has always known persecution. Now, granted, Christianity in many nations of the world has had some form of persecution throughout all the time the church has been on planet Earth. But we have more yet to come. There's more to come yet future. And understand this. I understand I'm going across the grain of much of your eschatological thinking. I know that. It's okay. I had to come through years of looking at it and studying it and reading it for myself. I couldn't just embrace somebody else's opinion. I had to see it in the Word. But I found out I was in good company. I found out there were some real scholars who got to where I'm at. Or I found out I got to where they were. And I mean, they were real scholars. They moved nations. They moved nations for the kingdom of God. And they were saying to the church, you're going to meet the Antichrist. They didn't say you're going to meet the Antichrist in this generation. They said the church eventually is going to meet the Antichrist. Research it for yourself, folks. Go into the Word of God. Go online. Research it for yourself. Those who stood telling the church, you are going to face the Antichrist. You're going to be here during the tribulational period. The pre-tribulational rapture theory, as I've told you before, came into being as a result of the teaching of a Jesuit Catholic priest. And I've told you time and time again, he changed his views three times. Look at it for yourself. Systematic theology in the Word of God. Now Jesus goes on. Be faithful unto death. What's he saying to the church? Folks, he's talking to the church at Smyrna. And he says to them, be faithful unto death. Remain faithful even if it costs you your life. Are you there? Are you there? Do you know how many have been there? Do you realize that glory right now has received how many who were faithful unto death rather than denounce Christ? Rather than renounce their faith in Christ, they remained faithful to Christ, and it cost them. It cost them their life. And some of them, it cost them a very, very painful passing. Jesus is speaking to the church in Smyrna. He says, be faithful unto death. Remain faithful even when it costs you your life. Not so much if it costs your life, when it costs you your life. Be faithful unto death. Remain faithful when it costs you your life. Then I will give you the crown of life. The crown of life. Christ Jesus says, you remain faithful regardless of the persecution, regardless of the affliction, regardless of how you suffer, regardless of how they threaten you, regardless of how they treat you, regardless of what they do to you, remain faithful. Remain faithful. And as a result of that, you will receive the crown of life. He says to them, I will give you, I, the Messiah, will give you the crown of life. The crown of life. Eternal life in the kingdom of God will be worth it all, folks. That crown of life, eternal life in the kingdom of God will be worth it all. In verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Let me point out something to you. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. That occurs three times in the Old Testament. Three times in the Old Testament. The Word of God says, he who has, quote, an ear, unquote, to hear, let him hear. Now, Christ uses that term, the word ears to hear, is used in the New Testament eight times by our Lord. And Jesus goes on, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. The second death, what is it? It's eternal separation from God. The second death is eternal separation from God and consigned to an eternity in hell. If you do not know Christ, why don't you pause for a moment and ask Christ Jesus to come into your heart. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to know that when I die, I'm assured of glory. Why don't you take a moment right now, if you're not born again, and invite Christ Jesus to come into your heart, and then find yourself a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. I am not recommending any denomination. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You find that denomination and that church within that denomination that stands totally on the Word of God. totally on the Word of God. Teach the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. Get involved in discipleship and grow to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, as you're commanded by the Scriptures to do. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to take this message and use it as you will. Use it as you will, where you will, with whom you will, but use it, I pray, in some way to do damage to the kingdom of darkness, advance the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And if you do this, Father, we'll be forever grateful. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you so much, Father, for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.